Welcome to Christian Historical Fiction Talk. I'm your host, author Liz Tolsma. Welcome to another fabulous episode. You are going to love today's guest, but before I let you know who that is and what we're going to be talking about, quick reminders, subscribe, please, so that you know when new episodes release. You don't want to miss out on any of the absolutely amazing authors that we have coming up. I keep saying that. I know I do, and I keep saying that, but it's so true. We have so many great authors coming up, so you want to make sure that you're subscribed. Second of all, please follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and I try to post there pretty consistently. I'm getting better, so please be patient with me as I have deadlines and things myself, but we have great conversations over there. I sometimes put polls up, and sometimes you'll give me feedback that will lead to episodes or will get put on an episode, so please follow us on social media. And lastly, if you'd like to find out more about today's guest or about the book that she's going to be talking about, if you want a handy link to it, or if you'd like to find out more about becoming a patron of Christian Historical Fiction Talk and all of the great perks that you get with that, then please check out the show notes on my website at liztolsma.com. All the information is right there. Okay, that's enough. I don't want to take up any more time with that because I'm so excited to get to today's guest. It is my great pleasure to welcome Misty M. Beller to the show. She's going to come on and she's going to tell you a little bit more about herself and about her new book, A Healer's Promise, but I have been reading it and thoroughly enjoying it. I know you will too. So why don't we just go ahead and get chatting with Misty. Welcome to the show, Misty. It is so good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Liz. I'm excited. I've seen your podcast online before and listened to some of the sessions, and it's such an honor to be here with you today.
Well, when I saw that you had a new book out, Bethany sent me an email saying that you had a new book coming out and would I be interested in having you on the podcast. I could not tell my VA to contact you fast enough. So I am so pleased that this worked out for us to be able to get together today. Before we dive into your new book, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I am a wife and mom of five. I was just telling Liz before we came on the air that I had a new baby last year. So little Leah is our fifth and final. My oldest is 14 and Leah's 5 months old. So a big family, but it's a very full house. And I've been writing for a number of years now. I believe I'm writing my 34th book. And there, yeah, it doesn't feel like that many, but in other ways, it feels like many more than that. I'm right in the middle of the book right now. So I'm in the muddy middle, they call it. So it feels like, I'm not sure if I'll get through this book or not. But I write Christian historical romance. All of my books are in that genre, and almost all of them are mountain stories. So I do have one three-book series that's set in Texas on a ranch, so there's cowboys there. But right after that series, I really found my first love when it comes to writing. And the rest of my books are set in the Rocky Mountains, very remote settings, either log cabins or journeys across the mountain ranges. And some of them are set in the Montana area. Some of them are set a little farther north in the Canadian Rockies. And that is the case with my upcoming release that will release in May from Bethany House.
And the title of that book is A Healer's Promise, correct?
That's correct. It's book two in the Brides of Lorentz series.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about that book?
Okay. So Lorentz, I love this village that is not actually a real village, but it's a secret village hidden in caves in the Canadian Rockies in the area that eventually became Alberta, the northern end of Alberta, Canada. And so it's this village that lives in caves there, and they've been separated from the rest of the civilized world for 100 years. Their forefathers had left New France, which is Canada to kind of get away from all the political and religious unrest that was there. And they just struck out west and traveled until they got to the Alberta area, which was just wilderness at that time. And they came across this large cave and they decided to settle there. And they little by little cut more caves out of the rock for their homes. And they created this entire village there that the rest of the world didn't know about. They just had a couple local First Nation tribes that they traded with, but everything else they made or raised themselves. And so this book, the entire series is set there in that little village of Laurent and the surrounding mountains. And book two is, like you said, A Healer's Promise. It's the story of Audrey, who is the village healer. She's the heroine in the book. And the hero is a British spy who stumbles upon the village. And he actually follows an American spy up there. Doesn't quite know where he's going, though. And the villagers don't look very kindly on him. They're rather suspicious of him. And so she sneaks him out because she's worried that he'll be punished, you know, just for finding their village. And so their story is how they survive injury and weather. And I won't give any spoilers, but it was such a neat book to write, especially having a Brit as the hero and imagining his British accent. He's just such a good guy. I think, honestly, Audrey and Levi might be my favorite hero and heroine in the 34 books I've written.
I really did enjoy Levi myself an awful lot. Like you said, with the British accent, even though it's written and it's not spoken, so it's not like watching, you know, Downton Abbey or anything like that, but you can just imagine it in your head. And he was just swoon worthy. So tell us a little bit more about him and maybe what your inspiration for him was.
Yeah. So I don't really know what my inspiration for his character was, honestly. He just sort of developed in my mind, and in my mind, he's a very real person, although he's not actually. But so this series is set right at the end of the War of 1812, which was a war primarily between America and England. The French kind of got pulled into it, but here in the United States, it was pretty much US and Britain. And so book one, the hero is actually an American spy who goes north and stumbles upon this village, and he's looking for a mineral to help America win the war. So this book, book two, the war has just ended, but Levi is still, he's kind of at the very end of his tenure as a spy, and this is kind of his last assignment. It's not really, it's kind of one that he's taken on himself. And he's really struggling with, as a spy, he's had to lie. He's had to pretend to be someone he wasn't so many times. And he's really struggling with reconciling that with his faith. And, you know, that God has called Christians to be honest. And he just hates the fact that he always has to lie in this role. So just before the book starts, kind of on his journey north as he's following this American spy, he's coming to terms with the fact that he's done lying. This is his last act as a spy in His Majesty's Navy. And he's just done with it. He's going to do his job here, but he's not going to lie. And then he would leave it up to God to save him or let him suffer the consequences. So that was, when I realized that that's kind of the way Levi's starting the story, I realized, wow, this is such a good guy. And he's just really trying to do what's right. So Audrey, after she sneaks him out of Laurent, she sets him up in a cave until he can get away from the people who are searching for him from Laurent. And it turns, I don't want to give any spoilers, but they're together for a while in the cave. Let's just put it that way. And it was so neat to see just his care for Audrey, how important it was to him to protect her reputation, not just that, but to protect her physically, but also her heart, and just what it looked like to be a man of God in a situation like that, situation he never imagined he would be in, and making some tough decisions through all that. I just loved Levi. The more I got to know him, the more I saw how he would respond in these situations. He's a great hero.
He sure is. Yes. I really enjoyed him an awful lot. Now, you mentioned that the setting of Laurent is not real, although I found it to be absolutely fascinating. And as I was getting ready for this interview, I ran across something out there on the internet that kind of hinted that there is a little tiny bit of basis in fact for this. Is that correct?
Sort of. So the idea for Laurent first came to me several years ago. I was listening to a podcast that's American history, or actually not American history, just history in general. But they do really cover a lot of American history. But they were talking about the Vikings and the first Vikings that came to the Americas, and that they were before Leif Erikson, really, and that there were communities of Vikings that lasted much longer than we generally think they did, and that they were spread kind of all over the Newfoundland Canadian coast. And so I got to thinking, I wonder if, you know, it's entirely possible that some of those communities could have been even farther west than we have found traces of, because so much of that Canadian land is just wilderness still. It's so wild and unsettled. And so then my mind started taking these what-if scenarios. What if there was a group that went a little farther west and found these mountains and found there are tons of caves in those Canadian Rockies, in the Montana Rockies too, but especially up in Canada. And it would be very likely that they would find a large cave. And, you know, from there, the idea was born. But at that point, it was Vikings that the idea was. And my thought was, you know, they've been there for about 1,000 years was the time frame. So then as I was brainstorming a possible series with Bethany House, we decided to change it to a French community a little more recently, not 1,000 years, but 100 years hidden in the caves, because that just kind of took some of the fantastical feel away from the story, to settle it a little more in a French settlement. But yeah, so that's how Laurent came about. So I can't say that Laurent, well, I can say that Laurent wasn't actually a real place, but I can't say that there wasn't a community similar to Laurent. It's possible. We'll leave it at that.
And I love how your writer's mind works with all the what if scenarios. I think that's what makes a great author, is someone who can think what if and who keeps thinking what if, what if, what if, until a great story like this is born.
It's so much fun to find that seed of an idea that just grabs you. And I think that's one of the things I love about writing too. Just not everything grabs you, but when it does, your mind just kind of goes crazy with it. I'm sure you can really relate to that.
Yes. Oh, yes. Before I was an author even, I guess I said what if is an awful lot. And my husband finally said to me one day, just stop with the what ifs. So maybe I guess that's why I had to start writing, because he didn't want to hear all my what if scenarios about different things. So I had to write it down to get it out.
I have a daughter who says what if a lot. So maybe if she has a career in sight, we can only hope.
Maybe so. That'd be great. Now I can hear it in your voice that you're from the South, and your bio said from South Carolina. So how does a Southern girl like that end up writing 1800s frontier mountain stories?
That's a good question. I was born and raised here in South Carolina, and I'd kind of purged the Southern accent from my voice back when I worked in corporate America, but I think it snuck back in. But we have family who live in California, and so growing up, we used to drive to California about every other year, and we would take different routes many times. Sometimes we'd go I-40 across the middle of the U.S. Sometimes we'd take Interstates 10 and 20 down the southern route. Sometimes we'd go a little farther north through I-70 or even I-90. It was so neat to see the different parts of the country. I mean, it was just such a privilege, something that a lot of people don't get to do. I didn't realize how wonderful it was at the time. But just getting to see so much of the U.S., I really fell in love with the Rockies. And my older brother did too. And I think they grabbed onto him even before they did me. And he, for a long time, actually planned to move to Montana. But since then, he's set up a farm here in South Carolina. But when I kind of got into adulthood, That's always been one of my favorite places to travel, although it's not an easy drive from South Carolina. But then when I started writing, I knew I wanted to write Christian historical romance, and I knew that most of what I read were kind of Westerns. So that's why I started with a Texas setting, actually a South Carolina girl who moved to Texas with her younger brother. And I enjoyed writing that series. But as I was writing book one, as I was finishing it, the idea for a mail order bride who shows up in the Montana Territory to meet her possible future husband and finds that he's actually died when she gets there. And so she ends up snowed in a log cabin and a remote setting and, you know, strong heroine. His older brother's is kind of tough mountain man, strong, silent type. And of course they end up falling for each other. That story just really grabbed hold of me. And as I started writing that one, I realized this is what I love to write. Mountain stories with all the harsh elements, but yes, yet just the majesty and beauty of the Rockies there's no feeling quite like looking out over those mountains. And just trying to bring the readers into that experience is a challenge that I love to do every single book. So that's kind of the long version of how I write Rocky Mountain stories.
Well, and we're glad you do, because you do a great job of it. Who was your inspiration to become an author? When you were growing up and you were reading, who did you look up to?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I definitely just read anything I could get my hands on. We were homeschooled, so we spent a lot of time at the library. I read a lot of nonfiction as a child, and then kind of in my teen years, started reading more fiction. And Lorraine Snelling was definitely one of my heroes. You know, she has some books that are geared towards teens. I was really horse crazy as a kid, and we had horses. And so let's see if I can remember the series name. I think it's the Triple Crown series by Lorraine Snelling. That was one of the books that really drew me into Christian fiction. I'm sorry, the Golden Philly series is what it's called. But anyway, so Lorraine Snelling quickly became a hero. And the more I read, the more I realized that most of my favorite books were published by Bethany House. So I definitely had some favorites, especially as I moved into adulthood and reading adult Christian fiction. Lorraine Snelling and Tracy Peterson and Jeanette Oak, of course. So many in the Christian historical romance genre were just heroes. And of course, they all wrote for Bethany House. I don't think I even had the thought back then that I could write a book. But when I did finally try my hand at writing the first time, I don't think I ever thought I would be published by Bethany House, that would be something that would ever be possible for me. But I do know that was definitely if I could dream any wonderful thing that might happen, that would be one of my big dreams. So just having the chance to write for them and getting to know a little bit Tracy and Lorraine and just all the amazing authors, Karen Wittemeyer and Mary Keneally, and just all the amazing authors that also write for Bethany House that I've read their books for so many years. It's definitely one of those pinch me things. I have my dream job. I'm so blessed with that.
That is really cool. Do your readers ever suggest a character or a story that they want you to write? And have you ever done that? Or do you think you might possibly do that in the future?
Oh, that's a good question. So there are times that readers, like I had a reader a few weeks ago, suggest that I really needed to put more animals in my stories, like dogs or cats. and I used to actually have dogs in almost every story. There weren't many cats in the Rocky Mountains in the early 1800s, but there definitely were dogs. But I realized when he sent that note that I've not really had dogs in there the last several books. So I'll give you an insider scoop. The book I'm writing, which is going to be book one in a new series for Bethany House that releases next May of 2023, it's not going to have a dog, but it's going to have a pet coyote, a baby coyote that's just a few weeks old. So that one's fun. So yeah, there's been neat suggestions like that. I have had readers many times ask for book 4 in my Hearts of the Montana series, which was my first series from Bethany House. There's one character, the brother of the book and of the hero in book 3, that he really does need his own story. And I've promised that I'm going to write that at some point, but I'm still trying to figure out where to work it in the schedule.
Right. Because you have a very busy schedule. You put out a lot of books in a year.
I do write a lot. I write every day usually. My goal is 5 to 6 books a year, although I'm kind of coming to terms with the fact that I don't know if I can keep going with that as the family's gotten a little bigger and with the baby. I'm really struggling to meet my word counts each day this year. So it might drop down to 4 books a year starting next year.
That's still something else. Wow. And I only have one left at home, and I can't imagine having 5 little ones at home and trying to get all that done. That's just outstanding.
So, well, everyone has their own jobs here, that's for sure. I definitely couldn't do it all myself.
I hear that you love camping, right?
I do. We do. All the kiddos love camping too. My husband's not a big camper, although he will if we beg him to go with us. But he would just as soon rent a cabin. But the kids love to camp too. In fact, I think each of the babies, we have pictures of them stretched out on a sleeping bag, taking a nap while we're out camping somewhere. So that's, and we love to go to the mountains. We're about 2 hours from the mountains, the Smoky Mountains. And so there's mountains in either direction, north or south. And so we have our favorite campgrounds. We don't really do much primitive camping or really any backpacking at this point. Although when the kids get older, when the youngest gets older, so that I'm not having to backpack kids and supplies, then I hope we can do more of that.
Okay. You're a better woman than I am. My husband loved camping. I was the one who would rather rent a cabin. So we compromised and got a trailer. So that's how we camp.
Yes. I think we're going to do that maybe in the next year or so, get an RV to do a little more traveling in. And that's definitely on in the plan.
Yeah. Yeah, they're nice, and it's nice to have a little bit of running water to do your dishes and things like that. So I like my amenities quite well.
Yes, and built-in heat and air conditioning is wonderful too. So
it's great. It's the best. Yes, we go camping at the end of September usually, and we need the heat. So it's good to have that. You have mentioned and hinted that you're working on something else. But it sounds like there's another book even between these. What's up next from you?
Yeah. So this book 2 from Bethany House releases again in May of 2022. And then, so because I write so many books each year, I always have a series from Bethany House that's releasing. And then I always have another series that I release on my own. And the series that I'm doing on my own right now is the Call of the Rockies series. And that has been such a fun series, definitely a reader favorite. And so book 8 in that series releases in July. It's called Grace on the Mountain Trail. And the hero in that book is actually a Shoshone brave. And the heroine is a woman who's come from the East. She is searching for her half-brother, who she didn't know about until her father passed. And in his will, he asked her to go find this half-brother. The half-brother was actually a hero in one of the earlier books. So that was a really fun book to write, just kind of getting to reconnect with some earlier characters in that series. But I can't wait for readers to get to know them as well. The brave, who's the hero, White Owl, we got to know him in the last book of the series as well. He was a side character there. So,
oh, fun. And what's the title of that book again?
It's called Grace on the Mountain Trail.
Right. Okay. Well, and when does that release?
It releases in July. I forget the actual date. I want to say it's July 13th, July 12th of 2022.
Good. So we have something to look forward to in just a couple of months again from you then.
Yes, I like to keep my readers reading. So.
That makes us happy readers for sure. And if the listeners would like to connect with you, where can they go to connect with you?
Oh, I love to talk to readers. So my website's probably the best way to connect with me in whatever way they'd like to. My website is mistymbeller.com, and they can get a free ebook download there if they'd like. A Pony Express Romance is book one in my Wyoming Mountain Tales series. And I give that away to people who subscribe to my newsletter. And honestly, my newsletter is the way I get to talk to readers most. I'm not on social media as much as I'd like to be, so I just don't get to interact with readers there as much. But I usually send a newsletter out about every 3 or 4 weeks. And so I love when readers respond to that and just share their thoughts or let me know what's going on in their lives. Let me know how I can pray for them as well. I love to pray for my readers. So any specific prayer requests, I welcome.
That's wonderful. Well, we'll be sure to check out your website and connect with you there. It has been a real pleasure to have you with us today. I can't believe how fast the time has flown by, but we certainly thank you for taking time out of a very, very busy schedule to sit down with us. It's been great getting to know you.
Thank you, Liz. I've so enjoyed talking with you and look forward to talking with your listeners.
Well, it is so sad that our time with Misty has come to an end, but she's keeping busy and she'll have more books out. So we will have to have her back on the show to talk to us again another time very, very soon. She was a great guest and a lot of fun to get to know and to get to talk to. I've heard her name out there for quite a while now, but had never talked to her. I was going to say face to face, but we weren't face to face, but microphone to microphone, and get to chat with her a little bit, even off the air, was a lot of fun. And our great thanks to Misty for being with us today. As a quick reminder, if you want to find out more about Misty, about A Healer's Promise, or the other books in the series, or if you'd like to get a handy link to any of those books, then please visit my website, which is liztolsma.com. You'll find all the show notes over there. And again, you will also find information on becoming a patron of Christian Historical Fiction Talk so that I can keep producing these podcasts and we can keep having these amazing guests come on and spend some time with us. Our guest next week is a woman that I had the privilege of meeting a few years ago, and that is Misu Andrews. And she is an author of amazing biblical fiction, and she is going to be with us to talk about her new upcoming book, Potiphar's Wife. It's book one in the Egyptian Chronicles series, and it's just very fascinating to me that someone has decided to talk about Potiphar's wife and to write a story about her. Before she is Potiphar's wife, Zuleika is the daughter of a king and the wife of a prince. She rules the Isle of Crete alongside her mother in the absence of their seafaring husbands. But when tragedy nearly destroys Crete, Zuleika must sacrifice her future to save the Minoan people she loves. Zuleika's father believes his robust trade with Egypt will ensure Pharaoh's obligation to marry his daughter, including a bride price hefty enough to save Crete. But Pharaoh refuses and gives her instead to Potiphar, the captain of his bodyguards, a crusty bachelor twice her age who would rather have a new horse than a Minoan wife. Abandoned by her father, rejected by Pharaoh, and humiliated by Potiphar's indifference, Zuleika yearns for the homeland she adores. In the political hotbed of Egypt's foreign dynasty, her obsession to return to Crete spirals into deception. When she betrays Joseph, her Hebrew servant with the face and body of the gods, she discovers only one love is worth risking everything. I love that take on it. We'll be talking to Misu about the historical background for this book. It just sounds absolutely fascinating. So I'm really looking forward to my talk with Misu Andrews about her new book, Potiphar's Wife. I thank you once again for joining me, for taking the time to drop in and listen, and for sharing the word about Christian Historical Fiction Talk with your friends and family who enjoy Christian historical fiction just as much as you do. Thank you once more for joining us. Have a great week, and we will see you next time.